We've talked about a couple of them at length. The school board's decision to partner with three boards in Toronto to launch a lawsuit against social media giants, tackling them for their role in our kids being unable to learn properly in schools. But is it the role of the school board to do that? Do you like this move or not? A lot of people have very strong opinions this morning on that. Say it's a waste of taxpayer dollars. One person saying they can't even organize school buses. Why are they dealing with this? Would love to get your take. We're going to go through some of your texts coming up in just a little bit. We're also going to talk about the psychological angle of the social media impact on kids as well. Much more on this massive funding deal that the premier was in town to announce for the city of Ottawa. Did we get what we deserve on that front? The 174 being uploaded. We'll get into all of that. And this from the premier as well. We're going to talk to Graham about this coming up just after 11. But the premier calling for federal workers to return to the office, weighing in on what has been a big debate in this city. He's providing some funding, helping to revitalize the downtown area. Says, you know what we really need? Federal workers back downtown. And I know a lot of you civil servants out there have said that's not our role. That's not our job to make sure the city is functioning well and that people are going to restaurants and whatnot downtown. But he says the federal government should be making that call, asking people to come back to work. He is asking the prime minister to do that himself. We'll get into that coming up as well. 580-580. Would love your takes on all of those. But right now, we're going to talk a little science. We have Dan Riskin on the line for your fun science stories on a Thursday. And Dan, it's a big, exciting year for you, I think.
Yeah. Man, you opened a zillion cans of worms as you got to me there. And I just felt like, I'm just like one of your listeners where I'm like, I got to text in and say what I think about this. But I
was thinking exactly that. Dan probably has an opinion on that.
I do. And I can't hold back. But I just got to say this social media stuff, you know, whether it's the school board's job or not, I think that this communicates very clearly to parents what a lot of researchers have been screaming from the rooftops, which is that social media and kids are not mixing well. And it's really hurting kids. And if this does nothing more than to get that conversation on the dinner table and get people talking about it, then it's done what it needs to do. Whether they win the lawsuit or not, I just want parents to really start looking at what data are coming out, because it's terrifying what social media does to kids. And it's really, we talk about this crisis of mental health in young people, and there's just more and more data suggesting that it all has to do with how they feel about themselves when their social lives all happen through phones.
Amen to that. If there can be a conversation at the dinner table about anything at all, it would be a beautiful thing where there's eye contact and kids are putting their phones down and putting them aside.
Yeah.
And I love that. I mean, put it out there, let people talk about it. Force the social media giants to kind of defend what they've got going on. And maybe if there's enough hits from all over, maybe there's actually some change at some point. So we will see. It's really interesting to get everyone's take on this one today. But yeah, I know for you as a guy who's all about putting that phone down and getting out into nature and taking a walk and looking up and checking to see if there's bats in the trees above you.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a big one for sure. And we're doing a lot of looking up this year, right? Okay, so we've got the solar eclipse that's coming up where you got to look up safely, make sure you have your glasses, you're only taking your glasses off, totality, all of that. We have something else going on in the sky as well, this Nova explosion, a new star in the Northern Crown. What's this about?
Yeah, this is really neat. The eclipse is a once in a lifetime thing for a lot of people, and this is another once in a lifetime thing for a lot of people. This is a nova, and nova is Latin for new, and it's when a star that was not there before suddenly appears. And there are a lot of stars in the sky, so it might not seem that exciting, but they don't change every night, right? I mean, the satellites move around, and that's weird, but the stars, it's kind of this fixed thing that you can kind of rely on. Like the same constellations are there season after season. It's weird for a dot to appear where there wasn't one before, but there's this one dot that does that every 80 years or so, where it appears and then fades away over a couple days. And it last did this in 1946. It also did it in the 1800s. There are historical reports suggesting that this same one has been spotted in the 1700s and the 1200s. I mean, we're way back at Magna Carta now. This is a long time ago. But NASA says that there's been activity from this star system, which is found in a constellation called the Northern Crown or Corona Borealis. And they think it's going to light up this year. So right now, there's just a dark spot to look at in the sky, which is hard to point at and get people excited about. But keep your eyes on your social media feed or wherever you get your astronomy information. Keep listening to our conversations because it's going to light up probably this year, says NASA. And so that's going to be really neat. It'll be visible for a couple days and then it'll probably fade. But when it's lit, it should be as bright as the North Star.
Love it. Got to turn my mic on here. When you say Corona Borealis, it immediately makes me think of Aurora Borealis and the Northern Lights. Just while we're talking about this, have you had a chance to have a really good look at the Northern Lights at some point?
Not in decades, but I grew up in Edmonton and I have some very fond memories growing up of just walking home across a school field and everybody just had to stop and we all lay down in the snow and just looked up and greens, yellows, and on a really good night, the purples. And this is the time of year where, the time of the decade where there should be a lot of them because we're in a solar maximum right now. So there's a lot of solar activity, a lot of big outbursts. And so people are seeing lots of Northern Lights up north. I don't know if they've made it to Ottawa yet.
Yes, have you had Dan. Some? No, we have not, Dan. But yes, up north, it's beautiful. My daughter has been trolling me because on my trips up there, I have not had the opportunity to see the Northern Lights. Even though I've gone at the right time when it should be perfect, I have never seen them. I'm over 30 and I have never seen the Northern Lights. And she sends me the most beautiful pictures. All the, oh, just happened to catch a glimpse of this when I was going to the gym last night or whatever. I'm like, stop it. Stop it.
They are unbelievable. They really are spectacular. And part of the reason we don't see them is there might be nights where they would be visible, but we have so much light pollution, it's hard to see them. But listen, the silver lining, and I say that literally, is that during the eclipse, the corona, which is another use of the word corona, besides all the uses it's had in this conversation, the corona, which is the part of the sun, which is sort of like the wisps of stuff that come off the sides, which is normally invisible because the sun's so darn bright, it becomes visible during an eclipse. And the view of the corona that we should get during totality here in Ontario, far away from where everybody gets to see the Northern Lights, should be spectacular. And the fact that the total eclipse is happening during a solar maximum means it's going to be especially good. And even NASA scientists and astronomers are excited to get a good, careful look at it. They've got all kinds of instruments ready to point right at it.
Very, very cool. In the interest of continuing to use the word corona in whatever way we can, I just want to say it's 10:47, which means we're 5 hours and 13 minutes away from the Blue Jays' first game in Tampa this afternoon, opening day for Major League Baseball. Someone else is bugging me saying, I know it's not tennis, because I always talk about tennis, but yes, it is the first day for baseball as well. A couple other things we want to talk about while we have Dan on the line right here. Tick-killing pill shows promising results in human trials. So can we do more for our dogs to help them out with ticks than we can actually do for ourselves?
Yeah, right now that's exactly how it is. So right now the advice from medical experts is like, if you go for a hike, check yourself for ticks, make sure you have high socks and make sure you don't get ticks. And if you do get a tick, take it off. But the dogs, we just give them a pill once a month and then the ticks die if they try to feed on the dog. And it's like, well, could we do that? And so researchers in California, there's this startup called Tarsus Pharmaceuticals. They've got this quote-unquote new drug called Lotiliner, which is for humans, but it's not really actually a new drug. It's just a drug. It's a flea and tick medication for dogs that they've rebranded, and they're testing it on humans to see if it works. So it works for Fido, and so they gave it to some people, and they had some ticks crawl on those people's arms to see if it worked right away, and it does. And then they had ticks crawl on those people's arms a month later after they'd taken the pill, and it killed them then too. So 90% of the ticks died. And so this is possibly going to be something that we could do is in the summer months, as ticks become more and more of an issue and as the diseases they spread become scarier and scarier through climate change, this might just be what we do to protect ourselves, because ticks have to attach to you I mean, to give you Lyme disease, a tick has to be on you for about 24 hours. And so if you've got something in your blood system that kills ticks, that protects you against Lyme disease and other stuff that's spread by ticks. So this could be a step in the right direction, but early days, this is the first sort of test to make sure it works at all. And now we've got to check to make sure it doesn't have any side effects and things like that.
Yeah, it would be great because I hate the fact that it's sort of made me second guess a little bit the last couple of years when you're hearing about bad tick seasons. So do I actually want to wander off the beaten path and into the woods at the cottage? And you want the answer to be yes, like get out there and explore, but you're a little stressed about, you know, what the possible ramifications could be. So hopefully there's some really positive stuff that comes out of that. I'm guessing, Dan, that you thought I was going to go from talking about baseball right into talking about soccer, right? That would have been more of the normal path.
No, you're the master of the segue. I am ready for whatever strange direction you want to take the conversation. You always you're a master bus driver when it comes to topics. So I just follow your lead.
Like to keep you guessing. You're my favorite passenger. But I do want to talk a little bit about soccer or football, as we say, if we're in Liverpool or elsewhere in the UK. And there's a story out that suggests that AI might actually be useful in improving team success from corner kicks. How so? Yeah.
So AI is very powerful, but it likes to have a repeated problem that it can learn from and then apply what it learns. And so it's really good if you show it a whole bunch of pictures of dogs and cats, and then it has to guess if the next picture is a dog or a cat. AI is really good at stuff like that. But for like a fluid soccer game where people are in different places all the time, it's really hard for AI to sort of get its bearing and to figure out what it's learning from. So soccer coaches have been looking for ways that they could take AI's intelligence and get better soccer performance out of it. And one place where things are more controlled is a corner kick. Because for a corner kick, the coaches tell the players where to stand in specific locations. And those change a little bit depending on the coach, depending who they're playing against, depending who's on the field. And so Liverpool FC, which is a big club in the UK, took the data from 7,000 corner kicks and they gave them to Google DeepMind and said, learn from this and give us some ideas. And so Google DeepMind took that and they came back and said, okay, we've come up with this new AI system. We're going to call it Tactic AI, where right before a corner kick, it'll tell you how to, if you give it the, where the players are, it'll give you some adjustments that it suggests that they think will improve the likelihood that a shot on net will happen or that a shot on net won't happen if you're defending. And they haven't actually used these in games, or at least they don't admit that they have, because you only get about 5 corner kicks a game at that level of soccer. So they're too valuable, and they don't want to be throwing them away and letting a computer try and experiment when they need to win the game. So what they did instead is they showed these changes, these proposed changes to coaches, along with a whole bunch of other changes that the AI didn't suggest, to see if they stood apart. And they did. 95% of the time, the coaches thought these were good ideas and they would actually implement them. So this suggests that AI can offer some help to coaches with specific kinds of scenarios in which everybody's lined up. And I just can't help but think that when hockey players line up for a face-off, that is exactly analogous to a corner kick. And so I wonder whether the Senators or the Oilers or some other team is going to realize this and go to Google DeepMind and say, hey, we could use a little help with our face-offs. Do you want to give us some suggestions and see whether it can improve things there?
I mean, anything to give you an edge, I guess, but it seems to take away from the purity of the game on some level. I was watching the documentary about David Beckham and a little bit about his wife, and he was the master of the corner kick, right? He could place it exactly where he wanted. So many goals were scored off of that. And like, that's just an innate ability that he had that also came from years and years and years of practice and being drilled by his dad. But is it fair to then take AI and give others that same advantage? I don't know. Another discussion.
Yeah, it's a good question. But how do you, if the other team's doing it, then how do you, I mean, what do you do with it?
And,
you know, if the AI has been trained on a whole bunch of scenarios it's seen before, sometimes a surprise or a really creative trick play can work really nicely. Actually, Liverpool FC's most famous corner kick, and I forget who the player is and all this stuff, but basically when the corner kick was ready to start, everybody on the team acted as though they were getting ready for the player to do it, and they sort of walked away and acted like they weren't paying attention. And then the player did a really quick kick in and passed it to a player, and the guy scored. And that's it, when they do top plays of all time for Liverpool FC, that is like the number one play. So Liverpool FC especially loves corner kicks. And so I'm excited to see whether this takes off with them or if they decide this was neat, but they're going to just keep doing what they've been doing.
I love that. The kind of trick play that you see way more often in the other kind of football, which keeps you guessing. The strategy in that game is what I love about it. All right, Dan, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to chat with you and get your take on all kinds of things. And I hope you have a really wonderful long Easter weekend with your family.
You too. Thanks so much.
Dan Riskin, our CTV science and technology expert.